You're listening to Modern Multifamily, a podcast that inspires industry operators and suppliers to think bigger. My name is Mike Wolber, the Chief Revenue Officer of Rent Dynamics, and in this show, I'm sitting down with leaders across the multifamily industry to discuss topics tied to innovation, technology, and improving renter experiences. Hey there, welcome to episode 4 of Modern Multifamily. I'm really excited about today's episode. There is a really important topic that has not had a lot of focus in our industry, but I'm betting that it's going to take off in 2021. Building credit is hard, and many of us take this for granted. There is a bill going into effect on July 1st for the state of California, Senate Bill 1157, which requires that affordable communities offer credit reporting to their residents for on-time rent payments. This gives their residents the opportunity to earn credit reporting through on-time rental payments. Alex Buchanan, the COO of Rent Dynamics, and I had a chance to sit down with two remarkable leaders from the Credit Builders Alliance, otherwise known as the CBA. In this episode, you'll hear from Sarah Chenven and Talia Concravis on the role they played in advocating for SB 1157, why residents love the solution, and some advice on how to make a program like this successful in your portfolio or your community. Let's get into it. Thank you, Sarah and Talia, for joining today. We're also joined by Alex Buchanan, the COO of Rent Dynamics, but would love to hear first from our guests. Sarah, then Talia, would you both mind introducing yourself?
Sure. Thank you guys for talking to us today. So I'm Sarah Chenven, and I am the Chief Operating and Strategy Officer with Credit Builders Alliance. I have been with the organization for a decade. I'm based out of Portland, Oregon. The organization is headquartered in Washington, D.C., and we're a national network of other nonprofits. And Talia will tell you a little bit more about us, but I'm very excited to be here.
And hi, everyone. I'm Talia Concravis. I'm the Innovations and CDFI Manager at Credit Builders Alliance. And among many strategies that we work to promote around credit building is rent reporting. And so we work with a lot of affordable housing providers to help them get set up to offer rent reporting as an opportunity to their residents.
Great. And Alex?
Hi, I'm Alex Buchanan. I'm the COO here at Rent Dynamics. I'm pumped for this conversation because I personally saw the impact that rent and utility reporting made on my credit report. So I took advantage of one of our product offerings for about 2 years and had my own personal credit score jump 60 points. So I'm pumped for today's conversation.
Awesome. Well, the CBA or the Credit Builders Alliance was new to me, and I'd love to hear first a little bit just about the organization, the role you play, and then we'll jump into the meat and potatoes of today's conversation.
So Credit Builders Alliance is a national nonprofit, and we support over 580, moving on 600 nonprofits across the country to help them help their clients build credit. And we were originally founded by a group of nonprofit lenders that were offering microloans and wanted to be able to report those loans to the credit bureaus and didn't have a way of passing on that information because their volumes were too low. So they band together and formed CBA. And now we serve as a way that nonprofits can transmit data to the credit bureaus so that their loans for consumers and entrepreneurs can be credit building. And then we do a lot more. We have a training institute where we equip practitioners with the tools they need to support people in credit building. We have a CDFI, which is a lending institution that promotes good, safe consumer products. And then we work with housing providers to promote rent reporting as a really great strategy for low-risk credit building.
So now that we know that the Credit Builders Alliance is CBA, I'm going to say CBA going forward. So thank you for the overview, Talia. That makes a ton of sense. I'd love to start today's conversation with just a general dialogue around the problem with credit building. I'm sure this is a big part of your focus with all of the organizations you work with. What are you seeing kind of out there in terms of the problems that early stage consumers have or people that are really looking to get their credit foundation set? I'd love just to hear a little bit about what you see in terms of the problems and also the opportunities within building credit.
Yeah, great question. So we know that credit is essential for gaining access not only to financial products and good rates with financial products, but also for getting into housing, getting good rates on insurance, not having to pay security deposits on cell phones, utilities. So it really impacts our lives in many different ways. Yet we also know that 1 in 3 US adults are credit challenged. So that's a striking number. And this includes 53 million people who are unscorable, which means that they just don't have enough experience with credit to have a credit score. And then 38 million who have subprime credit scores, so scores below 600, which will mean that they can't get access to a credit product, or if they do, it will have really high interest rates. So, you know, credit can be a catch-22. Without credit, it's hard to get credit. And so we really try to seek ways that people can have access to safe products. Just when it comes to rent reporting, this may be too many statistics thrown at you, but I'll just tell you a little bit more. But renters are 7 times more likely than homeowners to be missing credit scores. So we know that this is an issue, you know, really that hits home to the renter population. And then also, you know, there's this other piece that people of color are more likely to be renters. So Black and Hispanic households are twice as likely as white households to rent. So this is really a racial equity issue. And in addition, kind of correlated but separate, Black and Hispanic households lack credit scores at twice the rate of white households. So we see specifically rent reporting as a way to help people build credit to start eliminating the racial wealth divide.
I don't think you can ever have too many statistics. So thank you. That was a great overview. To me, this has been a very new conversation, being new to this side of the industry. Alex, I'm curious from your perspective, would you add anything to that kind of overarching statement of credit building and the opportunities that we have in the industry or also for individuals? Because I know you've been personally impacted by some of the stuff.
Yeah. So we kind of stumbled into this, and in my own frame of reference, I guess I just thought that everybody built their credit by paying their rent. And it wasn't really until I got into multifamily and we were kind of in an early stage development of Rent Dynamics where we could all still fit in a conference room. And our original product that we were servicing clients with was a call center. And so I had the fun task of listening to call after call after call after call, which is just so tedious. It is not fun at all. But one of the things that really stood out and kind of shocked our team was how often the renters were painfully aware of their credit challenges. And I could almost pinpoint the exact portion of the conversation where they would start talking about credit. And that really spurred us to get involved after we heard all those conversations. And so that kind of led us down the path of being able to report. So now today, for you two, our Rent Plus product, we're servicing a little over 500,000 households on this, but helping them report their rent and in a lot of cases, utilities, and also providing kind of access to budgeting and financial education tools, because we quickly learned about the problems that you kind of detailed. And it was honestly shocking the lack of tools that were available for the renters.
So one of the big things that our company, Rent Dynamics, has been focused on is getting ready to really be able to serve the state of California. We've got Senate Bill 1157 or SB 1157 that's going into effect July 1st. And I believe that the CBA played a pretty large role in supporting that bill. And I might be a little bit misinformed here, but I'd love to hear just what your involvement and even influence was in bringing this bill to life.
Yeah, it's a great point. And you're not misinformed. Okay. We're definitely, I think, integral to the bill and you know, worked a lot and very closely with Senator Stephen Bradford, who was the bill sponsor in the California State Senate, worked with his office very, very closely on the bill. So we were, I think, because of the work, our history with rent reporting and working with, in particular, affordable and public housing authorities, affordable housing providers and public housing authorities on rent reporting over the past 8 years. We were contacted by Senator Bradford's office and asked to, you know, sort of first just have a conversation about this bill and the concept behind it and you know, what it might look like. So they sort of, as part of their own education process, they knew that it was something they wanted to pursue. They understood, as Talia mentioned, the opportunity that a bill would present both in terms of helping renters living in subsidized housing in general, but in particular, developing a strategy that could help close the racial wealth gap as well, or address racial equity through credit building. And so knowing that we have played a rather large role in the affordable space, you know, in public housing space. So that's really our target market here, our housing providers, landlords that operate, own and or operate affordable and public housing. They reached out to us. We were able to talk to them about a pilot that we had run about 8 years ago with 8 affordable housing providers across the country that showed, you know, fairly definitively that rent reporting is a very powerful credit building strategy. There were just over 1,000 residents that participated in that pilot across those 8 properties or 8 affordable housing providers. All of those who, 100% of those renters who started with no score became scorable with the addition of a rental trade line. And not just became scorable, they became scorable at prime or near prime. And so really, you know, well positioned to take advantage of those scores and leverage that to achieve their goals. And of those who started with a low score, the average increase was roughly 32 points. And so they were able to, again, also move, you know, a fairly significant number were able to move from a higher risk tier to a lower risk tier. So we really were able to demonstrate, you know, that it was a powerful strategy. And so knowing all of that, Senator Bradford's office reached out to us. We sort of gave them a sense of the landscape. We worked with 2 other co-sponsors, one of which is called Prosperity Now. It's another national organization that is focused on asset building and racial equity and helping nonprofits and other practitioners across the country implement strategies that support low and moderate income individuals in building assets and wealth. And then another group called Mission Asset Fund, which is a California-based organization, but also works nationally, has a lot of partners across the different states that does lending circles. So they are a lender. They help communities across the country kind of band together and build credit histories through these lending circle loan products. And so we came in with sort of the rent reporting expertise and of course the credit building subject matter expertise. Prosperity Now came with affordable housing expertise specifically, and Mission Asset Fund is a kind of, you know, really well-known, renowned credit, has a tremendous, you know, practitioner level credit building expertise as well. And so together with Bradford's office, we looked at the bill, we helped draft some of the language. We mostly reacted to the language. We worked with industry, you know, credit reporting industry to talk them through some of you know, the initial concerns they had, with some of the housing folks to address issues they had or questions, and then help to kind of thread the needle to get to where we were with the actual bill, which we were very, very thrilled to see pass with a lot of bipartisan support.
So I've got, that was really, really fascinating for me to hear kind of the inner workings. So I've got a couple. So when you went through that initial study, and we've seen very, very similar results across our platform, and you saw everyone coming back as scorable, and you saw that 32-point increase, what was the feeling at your office? That had to be a slam dunk, didn't it?
Yes, I think we, you know, we are obviously proponents of credit building. It's our name. It's what we do. But as Talia said, we're always looking for other ways to help, you know, other strategies for credit building. I think what we weren't sure, it was a slam dunk. We were so excited to see that the results of that pilot tracked very, very closely with the results of more traditional credit building strategies that we see through, you know, credit builder loans, through secured cards, you know, through unsecured cards. So what we see the same kind of level of result and the same level of impact, and the added benefit of rent reporting is that nobody has to either incur or even risk incurring additional debt in order to build their credit history. So they just have to do what they're already doing, which is pay their rent on time.
That's so cool. And I think I think we ought to definitely post the language of the bill because it's very, very interesting to read as part of this. But one of the things that was most surprising to me as I read through this, and I'm curious your thoughts, your reaction to it, was the inclusion that landlords could charge for the service. And I just, that I was not expecting that on initial read through. And so we saw that, that really made me kind of go, huh. And I was curious what your thoughts or reactions to that was.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And I think it was, you know, it was a compromise, right? That in general, you know, we are, when we're thinking about the population that this is intended to impact, which is people living in subsidized housing, we're not talking about people with a lot of margin, right? Financial margin. And so it was very important to us and to a lot of the consumer advocates that with whom we spoke about this bill to keep the cost low. I mean, in an ideal world, it wouldn't cost a renter anything. Mm-hmm. Real world, we also understood the concern that, you know, adding rent reporting, there is a cost burden potentially to the landlords, but we also know that that cost burden is actually not, you know, is surmountable. It's not, yeah. This is a relatively low cost strategy with a lot of return on investment. But because it is still new and there are still so many mechanisms for reporting rental payments, I think there's you know, legitimate concern that operationalizing it can be a challenge. And so one of those challenges is what's it going to cost and how do I, as a landlord, you know, putting ourselves in the landlord's shoes, how do I make sure, especially if we're talking about smaller landlords, although you see in the bill that there's an exception for really small landlords, and that's very intentional. We wanted to accommodate and understand that legitimate concern.
And for our perspective, obviously, we're coming at this a little bit different angle than your organization. And what we've typically found is I think you really nailed that, is that most landlords are excited about providing this service. They really want to kind of shed yesterday's view of them being a big bad landlord. And a lot of them have really, really cool social programs embedded at those communities, but are nervous about the cost. So I think that really Sure. was a decent compromise. And so I know, Mike, I'm asking a ton of questions, but if you'll give me one more.
Please.
Since SB 1157 has passed, have other states started to reach out to you regarding that? Where are you hearing from since then?
Yeah, I mean, we have spoken to some folks in Colorado who are, I think, sort of a coalition of consumer advocates and CDFIs that sort of understand the value proposition of rent reporting and see it especially through the lens of the benefit to those renters who are aspiring homeowners as well, right? I mean, that's a clear connection there. And so we're seeing some activity there prior to, I mean, California is a unique bill and it is sort of the first in its nation that requires that landlords of subsidized housing offer the opportunity for rent reporting to their residents. But there has been there's some legislation in DC at the city level. The city council there is working with the DC Public Housing Authority or the DC Housing Authority to implement a pilot. We've seen some interest. There's been a bill proposed in Massachusetts for the last couple of years that is also focused on piloting rent reporting. And Talia, let me know if I'm missing anything.
Just Governor Cuomo has made this a priority in New York as well, not with any specific legislation, but announcing that state-funded housing providers should prioritize this. So we're seeing a growth in interest.
Right. And of course, there's federal bills. The legislation hasn't yet to pass, but bills that have been proposed and passed last year, the House, the Federal Access, Credit Access and Inclusion Act, which sort of provides a framework that affirmatively authorizes the legitimacy of rental and utility payments as viable data, you know, to be furnished, and telecoms as well. But we do see, you know, there are conversations, it seems like, with the Biden administration that really, you know, does look at rent reporting in particular and utility reporting as this potential sort of equalizer strategy. And we think that there will be more. I think that this is just the tip of the iceberg and the momentum is going to build.
we're definitely seeing that as well. And I think one of the questions we faced early on was, you know, that same question, is this legitimate? Should we be doing this? And as people started like similar pilot programs and saw the impact, I found many of our clients, their corporate teams were surprised the positive feedback from their community managers and their entry-level employees of saying like, how can I take advantage of this? This is, and so I guess my question to you two about that, would there be for folks that are beyond the affordable realm, just in the renter world as a whole, do you think there's any drawbacks as a landlord to kind of offering something like this, offering to report your residents?
I don't think so, Talia.
You know, it's not without risk. It's very low risk, but especially thinking about, you know, being in a pandemic and how people's situations can be fragile and change in a month without expecting, you know, just making sure that renters are fully informed of what rent reporting is, so they know when to participate and when they can opt out and not participate. But other than that, it's just a really great opportunity for renters. And so I think I can't think of other drawbacks.
So I'd love to hit on two things that I picked up along the dialogue. And Alex, I love that you interjected because you've got way more skin in the game than I do so far. The first is that, Sarah, as you were talking about just some of the overarching benefits that you've seen really impacting, you know, the renters and the residents on properties, we definitely believe that this is a massive value add and value creator for a renter. And I'm curious, have you had a chance to hear from any renters themselves in terms of what this program has been like for them, the benefits, any of the concerns that they've been able to overcome? I think that voice of the customer is always so important, especially for a community who's on the fence, whether or not they should put something like this in place.
Yeah, through the pilot, our initial pilot, we were able to collect some great stories and additional kind of information of sort of the additive benefits that some of which we weren't thinking about, but make sense in retrospect. Like for some of those landlords that are very mission driven and have, you know, additional or offer additional resources and services to their residents, either directly like in the property itself or through partnerships with nonprofits in their local community, we saw that the very sort of fact of seeing a resident seeing their score increase, or seeing the creation of a score where there wasn't one before, the establishment of a score where there wasn't one before, and having conversations about just sort of the consciousness of improving their credit and what, you know, what they could do with that, we saw that people were participating more in some of those other beneficial programs or other programs, more in financial education and, you know, match savings accounts, reducing debt, doing a lot of other things that, you know, maybe they would do otherwise, but, you know, definitely the practitioners that on the ground that we were talking to were saying was a true benefit that none of us actually had sort of anticipated in the design of the pilot. And then we did, you know, we had a particular pilot here in Oregon, and we interviewed a couple of residents and again, heard from them firsthand how sort of the difference it made in their lives. In one was a small business owner, and she was able to, you know, acquire more inventory because she was able to leverage her personal credit to be able to get this access to this inventory, to credit for that inventory. Another one, gentleman, was someone who was able to just, you know, go from having a fairly high amount of debt and collections to really whittling that down. And it just, the sort of personal, I mean, obviously it benefited him financially, but also seeing he spoke a lot about the change in how he was, his perception of himself and how it sort of translated also to, you know, intergenerationally. So how he was able to talk to his son about what he was experiencing and how important that was. And so you know, we've heard stories like that really, you know, like you said, sort of underscore in real life, the benefits.
Love it. I mean, and it even sounds like the side benefits of financial literacy and putting that conversation at the forefront of these kinds of things. So one other question I have for you, and I think Alex has one last one before we close, is for the actual property managers, the communities, I'd say the biggest audience for this podcast is owners and operators of multifamily across the United States. Have you heard any major challenges, or is there any advice you have for communities themselves? I know we've packed a ton of content into today, but curious if there's anything for an actual community in terms of advice you can share for as they look to enter this process.
Yeah. So we've worked with housing providers of all shapes and sizes. And for every housing provider or property manager, it looks a little bit different when they implement. But I would say one of our biggest lessons learned that makes this program successful is when property managers or the housing provider staff really take the time to think about how they embed rent reporting into their existing systems and their existing touch points with residents. So, you know, when they're meeting with a resident for leasing or recertification or re-upping their lease, if they have community meetings, any organic time that they're interacting with residents can really make this a success. And then I would say we work primarily with the affordable housing market. And so messaging around how rent reporting can connect to a resident's goals, their long-term goals, such as homeownership or getting a car loan, making sure that they can get loans to go to school or for their kids to go to school, you know, tying it back to things that are important to them can help people really think about how rent reporting will impact their lives. Lastly, I would say just, you know, the beginning setup can feel a little daunting. We see a lot of interest from housing providers, and then they think about adding anything new to their workflow that can feel overwhelming, but just taking a little bit of time to think about how you're going to add this in and take some capacity in the beginning, and then it will and have it work smoothly afterwards can really make a difference and is totally worth it.
Can I just add on to what Talia was saying and also thinking back to some of the benefits we saw from our original pilot and subsequently, although we haven't rigorously evaluated this, so it is anecdotal, but the other piece, I think, just speaking to the landlord audience is we have seen, again, through our pilot and in subsequent work that, you know, rent reporting does have a kind of, you know, it's a double bottom line, you know, opportunity for landlords. So the benefit to the residents, the competitive advantage that offers a landlord if residents, you know, are looking for places that are going to help them build their credit while they're paying their rent. And also that we have seen that it has been, you know, it does incentivize on-time payments, sometimes thinking about the sort of the whole picture of what rent reporting, you know, can do in the entire ecosystem from, you know, for residents, for the landlords, for the communities that landlords and residents inhabit is important.
I think that's spot on. Alex, what were you going to say?
I just think coming back to Talia's comment and Sarah as well, it's all interconnected. And I think whenever you start doing those good things, that cycle, that virtuous cycle just starts and it impacts so many things from the individual life to the community. So I think that's really, really exciting. So my question would be, what would you say to those wanting to get started and help that maybe aren't a landlord?
Boy, that's a good question. You can always donate to creditbuildersalliance.org. We are actually in the process of creating a technical assistance center, a virtual hub that will be a resource that, you know, initially at least landlords and other practitioners can leverage to learn more about the rent reporting landscape, to understand what the option, you know, to understand the value proposition of rent reporting, but also what the options are to operationalize it. And then ultimately our hope is that it will be a place also that renters can turn to as well, especially as there are more potential opportunities for consumer permissions data, you know, including rental data to flow in, or more direct consumer options for rent reporting. But I think, you know, in your local community, you can look and see who's doing affordable housing work, who's doing, you know, housing coalition work. They may not yet all be rent reporting, but plug in there, donate resources to help those subsidized housing providers in your local community.
Are there any? So I think we did a pretty good job today. This was a very important conversation for us. Are there any topics that we should have hit on that we didn't make it a point to connect to? It's felt thorough from my perspective, but I do want to make sure that we cover the highlights of CBA, the bill, but also the importance of this conversation for renters as well as the managers alike.
Yeah, just building off of what Sarah just said, we really see rent reporting as a tool in a spectrum of housing stability. There's the need to help people get stabilized in their housing and be able to pay their rent and have access to housing that is affordable to them. And then rent reporting is a really great strategy once people are stabilized, once they're able to pay their rent regularly and start transitioning to thinking about long-term goals and getting into home ownership or getting themselves to other places where they want to be. So we just see it as a really powerful tool amidst a whole spectrum of other types of tools and work that's great work that's going on.
I love that. Well, I want to end on a fun note. And so Alex, Sarah, and Talia, I'm curious, have you watched a show? Or for me, it's been Yellowstone has been my binge the last couple of weeks with my wife, April. But I'm curious, has there been a show or even a book that's captivated your evenings or time when you're not working with family?
I'll go first. I just binge watched the two-part series. I think it was on HBO Max, but I'm not sure, about... Oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. Golfer.
Famous Tiger Woods?
Tiger.
Oh. Yeah, Tiger. Tiger, yeah. It was amazing. It was just so good. Yeah.
Oof. All right, Talia, what about you?
I binge watched the show The Great, which is a show about Catherine the Great, and it's only accidentally truthful. so it's pretty hilarious.
That just got recommended. That's on my list as of yesterday. So I'm glad to hear a second person validate that one. Alex, what about you?
I was going to say Tiger, the Tiger Woods documentary. It was well worth it, right? That was one. It was like 3 hours in start to finish. I don't think I moved the whole time.
Well, Sarah and Talia, thank you a ton for today. I appreciate the commitment to getting the story out there and talking about the importance of not just credit building, but the bill that's going to place for the state of California come July. Should anyone have a question for you specifically or for CBA more broadly, what's the best way for someone to get in touch?
You can contact us at rentreporting@creditbuildersalliance.org.
Awesome. Thank you both. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.